Okay, Jim Dingman is next. Jim, go ahead. Jim, we don't hear you. Jim?
Jim, you hear me now, right?
Yeah, we hear you.
Jim made the point about the reduction of audience in New York. That was based on a year I spent on the local advisory board, where all we did was talk about the swap and sell issue back in the early 90s. And the same would apply to Los Angeles. Los Angeles has, what, a 100,000-watt signal. They would go down to a 600-watt signal. So that's what, almost 20 times less. So the ability to even recover, I mean, let alone the arguments we have about divisions of the content going on, which all of us have different opinions about, but we'd never be able to recover at all in any of the markets that we're in right now, New York or Los Angeles, if a signal was swapped and it was reduced by 75% or 85% in the case of Los Angeles. We have to take what exists now and turn it around. Now, I disagree with Mario. I do think there's a lot of positive energy being put by a lot of people who don't agree with each other trying to change these stations around. We have Houston, we have New York, and we have Los Angeles, and there's different approaches being adopted by different people. But I think the overall goal is to not let the stations fall into oblivion, but to change them for the better. So I disagree that it's completely nihilistic. It's completely cynical. Yeah, I can be as cynical as the next person, but I do see positive things trying to be done. I also see that we're going to have clashes in philosophies about radio. My thing is what works is most important and what can make us a national presence. That's what I see as our solution in part to our doldrums, because at this point, we are an insignificant presence in several of the markets we're in, New York, Houston, and in Los Angeles. 0.1% is not good. We need to go up to 0.3, 0.4, 0.6. We have to expand our audience in each of those stations 600% at least to not have these problems. That's the goal. That's a positive goal. That's a goal that everybody should get behind. And that's the goal we should have to change the situation around locally in the markets. Who wants to sell a building? Nobody. To be pushed into a situation where you have to sell a building in Los Angeles stinks. It totally stinks. And that should be something that people should reflect upon. How did we get into that position to start with? What led us into that position? And just to answer Jonathan quickly, the thing we discovered was that it's an either-or with the Nielsen ratings. You can either have Nielsen ratings of the type that they argue, or you can have
Time.
$500,000 in non-federal funding from each station, and that is a goal that we can easily make. So that's why I see we can probably, with a lot of hard work, get an application in and try to get that money down the road. Thanks.
Okay. Just went wrong there. Okay. All right. So if there's no other thing that we're going to go on about, the time is up. And
Yeah,
let me
Serene.
make note of that. God,
I thought the motion
type one day.
Was
If there's no other thing, if
that
okay,
there's
somebody
one
else is
first
talking
one.
while I'm talking, please let the chair say what has to happen. If there's no
Point of
motion
order,
to
Paul.
if there's
Point of
no
order.
motion to go on, since time has been called, we'll move on to the next item. Is there some motion to extend the time?
Point of order, Arpal.
What?
Yeah, I think the motion was to for 10 minutes or to exhaust the stack, whichever came first.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes came first.
Okay, so let's see. Oh, Serene Roberts is left, so all All right. So that was the motion, and somebody could still make a motion to extend it if they want to.
Yeah, extend to let Serene say what she wanted to say.
Okay, 1 second.
Second the motion.
Any kind of
I'm trying to figure out where we are here.
Yeah, any kind of time on this, or can she go, you know, is there a time limit on it, or you just want it to be to extend the time for this item to let Serene Roberts speak?
Exactly. Well, the previous motion already covered that. The motion was to complete the stack or 10 minutes. It didn't say which was less. And therefore, it's whichever is greater.
Okay,
I don't know
so
who's on after me, but I don't expect to be a long time.
All right. The motion I have is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes or exhaust the stack.
You have 10 minutes. You have 10 minutes. You have four people, and you're supposed to do 2 minutes for people.
I don't know who that is, but you're not running the meeting.
This is Ali.
Okay.
So it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that you...
Please, excuse me. Let me chair the meeting, please.
We could just give
all right.
Minutes and move on.
If everybody else will please come to order. All right. I'm going to rule that we're going to let Serene Roberts go. As I'm going to interpret the motion as having... as having said 10 minutes or exhaust the stack. Those people who love to put in exhaust the stack, this is what you get. So, Serene Roberts, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay, great. And I'm sorry, I'm on a bus. It's a little noisy. You know, the bylaws say that you must have a listener vote if you are selling all the assets or substantially all the assets. And that language is extremely flawed. We must correct it in a bylaw amendment this year. Because what is happening is that we are selling the assets. We're selling all the assets. We're just selling them one at a time because substantially is not defined. We sold the KPFA, we sold the national office in Berkeley. Now there's talk of selling in LA, where we know based on property costs in LA, continuing to function as a station is going to be unaffordable, and the short-term relief of cash coming in is not going to cover the ongoing costs of what they're losing. So I want to recommend to people who are in governance, I'll have the air of people in governance, that we really look at reframing that language, and until then that the PNB operate with the intent, which was to preserve and utilize the assets, not to simply dissipate things one at a time. And that includes the licenses. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, so the unless somebody wants to have some other motion to keep going here, we are going to move on to the next item, which is General Manager's report on WBAI's finances. Okay. Berthold, go ahead.
All right, it's going to be very short. I sent an email recently. I hope you had a chance to read it. It was an hour before the meeting. I have the outstanding payables, which is about $1.4 million now, close to $1.4 million. We still owe 3 months of Four Times Square and 3 months of rent at 388 because we paid them, but January came. So that's what we're facing. Or we're maintaining, but you know, we're not catching up on the back rent. That's not reflected on the profit on the pay outstanding payable. I just paid $8,000 to the ACG call center, so that otherwise they would have stopped responding to the phone call. You know, they need a plan. So now, basically, the goal is to come up with $12,000 immediately for healthcare and $21 for payroll by January the 15th, which really means by January the for payroll, probably by January the 10th or the 11th. You know, we have $1,000 in the bank right now, and we got $8,000, but you know, we're not taking the $3,250 per day. We're making a lot out of that during the holidays, but we didn't really have a big splash. With $134,000 that we made last year, we made something closer to $94,000 this year. You know, people are exhausted. The tower rent, you know, management, I was tired. I pushed it with the producers, but I didn't really push it and harass them. So probably going to keep on going with tower rent in February, because in January we exhausted. So then what else did I put in there? The national office finally put out the official financial for 2022, October 21st, October 1st, 2021 to September 30, 2022. And they're really off from BAI by like $60,000. We have a deficit written on our book of $321,000 on QuickBooks. They have $380,000. That's because their revenue, the revenue that they book is $24,000 shorter than the revenue that we book. And I think that, as I said in my report, I suspect that may have to do with recognizing the revenue of the PSAs was $10,000. That were incurred, we earned them before October. So that, since the new CFO came in, and then I don't know the total communication of the previous NEDA, and also, you know, she's doing all by herself what the whole company was doing. So some of these things are small details. Money comes in, books it. So that might be part of it. And then as far as the expenses, you know, we are, our expenses, we have about $1,700 more per month than we do. And that looks a lot more like the accruals that we don't do on QuickBooks. So that looks pretty good to me. I don't know if it's that much to pools or whatever things and other things that we never really had a chance to discuss that with NEDA. Hopefully, I'll have a conversation with Markisha eventually to know how to book some of those pools, what they really are, what are the numbers, and what are they for, so that those numbers can be closer. But if I assume that the accruals is right, if the accruals comes to about $1,700 a month, then our difference is really $24,000 between our financials and the national financials, and the $24,000 in revenue, $10,000 of it or $15,000 of it has to do with the PSAs that probably were booked in October, November when we received the check, as opposed to August, September when we earned the contract. So, you know, talking about financials, accountability, Markowitz, I'm not sure exactly. You know, if you were talking about BAI, but at BAI, you know, it's a fantasy, and then it's a lie. It's a Trumpian lie that has been put out in the network from the West Coast on a regular basis. But every time we look at it, the numbers are always there. The details are always there. Opal does not, you know, spare me of anything. He's not my friend or my enemy. He's, you know, he tries. Sometimes we argue, but, you know, if he sees something he doesn't like, he calls it out, and I have to come up with explanation or documentation. So this myth, this of no accountability, is a whole lot of lies for BAI. I don't know about the other nation. So I wanted to very clearly talk about that. And what else is there? We've been sending very strong letters to the producers, letting them know that we expect them to raise money. every four weeks of the month. And then it, we also expect them to post their, the description of their show on the archives, or they will be suspended. And then if they are recidivist, if that's repeated over and over, no matter how great the show is, they will be removed from the air. Because posting shows, descriptions on our archives also increases listenership. When people are looking, they can find something, and then they can post them. Like I was trying to, for example, the other day I used something called Dispatch, where we send a reminder to listeners of two shows we thought were excellent shows. And a lot of times I go, I can't really post them because there are no description of the shows that I can post in the Dispatch, or when they click, there are no descriptions of those shows, you know. On the positive side, this week so far, today is only Wednesday, there are so many good shows that I was had already on the air that, I mean, it's so difficult for me right now to think about which one of them that I would post. Law and Disorder had a very special, good special on a predatory state that ticketing cars, the cops, they're basically just, you know, milking poor people. Lope had a show today, yesterday on, forgot what it was. Arthur Schwartz had Barbara Walters interviewing Castro and stuff like that. I mean, there's so many good shows, very good shows that we've had. Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting had, you know, review of the best stories from last year. We have a lot of them. You know, like, I mean, I can, like, if I wasn't, you know, if my memory was great, or if I had my notes, I could give you another 10 of them. Great shows. Don't know which one to choose from. So that's the good news. And that is basically it. Our budget is probably going to be coming up soon. We made about $28,000 so far in PSAs. Not of all that money comes in. You know, we know the state and the city, it takes them 2 months to pay you. You know, I mean, we should understand that. It takes us 2-3 months to pay other people, too. So that's the story of the city and the state. Linda and I, we're working it. We're still working in those groups. I'm sure we had a surge during the holiday. They wanted to, at the end of the year, they wanted to, use all the money they were given for the fiscal year, I'm assuming some of them. And but we understand them now. We understand how they function. They have a calendar. They have a PSA. They have a campaign calendar, which is not necessarily a regular monthly calendar. It was very difficult. I went back and forth with them, and they were very patient with us to explain to us how do we build them, how do I identify the campaigns and all of that stuff. And so I think we've got that down pat now. We can share those things with other stations. And we're going to be focusing on the Department of Sanitation. And January right now is when we have to the city council forms are open to be filed. So probably going to spend a lot of time on that. Unfortunately, I also have to work on the EEO report. It's due. And we need to file those early because our license is being, renewed right now. And then we should file everything early. And so is the quality report. The quality report is the thing that gives me the hardest time because producers are not posting the description of their shows on the air. We're getting a lot more of that posted since those efforts to get everybody to understand that. That's the report. I know some of those things are not financial, but they are related to finances and stuff like that. Concerning CPB filing, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but my understanding is at WBAI, we meet a lot of those criteria, especially the criteria of meetings, announcing meetings on time, all the subcommittees, the CAB, the Finance Committee, the LSB. Our board is the first one to call us out on trying to rush into meeting and things like that. I think we are pretty much almost 100% meeting those requirements as far as filing reports and stuff like that, and as far as having a CAD that's effective, as far as having a report to the listener from recently, we've been scheduling them monthly. They're part of our calendar. And as far as the audience is concerned, we also have, WBI has established, and I had mentioned it to the executive director and everybody else, that we also have Nielsen set up something so that we can also record online official Nielsen online listenership that adds to the listenership that we have, and that makes it easier for us to get closer to those numbers. And so, that's basically my report. You know, it's very difficult, and I wanted to point out that when we were receiving CPD money, the CPD money was about $320,000, and that money went straight to the national office, we didn't even see it, to pay for central service and Pacific Region Archives. So those people were talking about the CPD money, this money or whatever grant money, and those money are being torn away. That is not true. We are a very lean organization, lean in the sense that, you know, we get the money and we pay the bill. That WBI, the CPD money, paid the national office and then a PRA, and there was not that problem of being accused of not meeting or obligation to the national office. So the difference at WBI really is CPD money. I mean, the $381,000, which is about $350,000, $390,000 more or less, or $420,000 we used to receive from the CPD. Of course, there's like $50,000 of it was for Free Speech Radio News that had to go there. But minus that, we used to receive about $350,000 for the CPB, and that's exactly the $350,021 I have, or $80,000 that we have outstanding in the red. I'm done.
Mario to the staff.
Okay. So, Berthold.
Carolyn McIntyre, and I'm here, and I'd like to be on the stack.
Oh, let me. Okay, let's handle this stuff. Is Neil Voss here?
Yes, I am here, R. Paul.
Neil Voss is here. Okay, I'm just taking a fast attendance and making sure people are here. Is, since I'm doing this at this point in time anyway, why don't I do that other thing so that nobody complains about it? And I will read that special little thing we have. All right. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI local station board that for the local finance committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that says, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board, unquote. And so, is there anybody from the WBAI listening area who vote, you know, who's able to vote for BAI stuff? Is anybody in that category who wants to announce that they're here and give us their name so they can maybe become a member? Okay, I don't think I hear anybody, so we can move on. Berthold, I have your where is it now? Oh God, did it come up? Yeah, it came up here. The four times square, you have 1 to 30 days, 18,000. I mean, we have, this looks like it's more than 3 months of dough owed to four times square. And weren't you saying some while back that if we were 3 months behind, they were going to, throw a switch and shut us down?
It's more than 3 months, so we are at the limit. And then we've been going that way for like 4 months or 5 months now. But we are 3 months behind. We just did October, so it's November, December, and January.
Okay.
So that's why I had prioritized that at one point instead of payroll or health benefits, because we'd have a signal, so there'd be nothing at all. So you have to balance it out, and that's also why I just paid $8,000 to the call center, because if they don't answer the phone, then there's no money coming in to pay anything else.
Okay. So my question, going back to my question. So we owe them 3 months, but they're not cutting us down. Is it that we're still early in January? Because we owe them, you say we owe them November and December and now January, but since it's early in January, do they not count it yet? I'm trying to understand what the real cutoff is, because you said if we go to 3 months behind, they cut us right off. But it looks like we have at some point gone beyond 3 months and they haven't cut us off. So I want to get a better understanding of this.
We've never gone beyond 3 months. We are 3 months. Like, for example, right now, January makes 3 months. And then, I put pieces together, save here and there, and try to make the payments, even if it's one or two or three installment payments, and get November done before February 1st, even if it's on January the 31st or the 30th. So we are avoiding the former. The former is a deadline. And I have no idea how they're functioning. But I know that these 3 months, we get the letter saying, by the way, 3 months, you're behind, and then I've been keeping it at 3 months. I've been trying to take it back to 2 months, and it's been difficult. Sometimes we've been closed, and then in the next month we have not been that successful in fundraising, so we went back to the 3 months, the solid 3 months. The same thing for 388 Atlantic.
All right, so they send you a letter when you hit the three-month mark. Have they sent you one in January?
Yeah, they send you the 3 months regularly. They send you a letter regularly. If you're 1 month behind, you get a letter saying you're 1 month behind. You're 2 months behind, you get a letter saying, by the way, remember, you owe us this month and that month, And
right,
so they said, you owe us this month and that month, and then this is the new bill.
All right, so we owe them November and December. Now we owe them January. Say what?
There's nothing new. It's been going on like that for four or five months now.
Yes. Okay. My point being, it looks like there was a bright red line there that if we crossed it, we vaporized. Okay, Bertel, let me finish. I'm wondering if we have crossed that line or if we're very close to it or what the story is with that bright red line that we dare not cross.
We are very close to it. The 4 months is not acceptable. I also have asked our general counsel, Arthur Schwartz, and the executive director of the National Bank National Office over a while back now to reach out to Four Times Square to ask for a rebate on all the disturbances that we've had this past year for maintenance and all of those things that were erratic. Wanted to have a 2 month rebate and would like 1 month at least if we came up with that. and that has not happened. You know, so I don't know how you guys can help make that happen. I understand that there are a lot of things going on. I understand General Carson is extremely busy. You know, we talk about this all the time. I mean, by the way, I was just talking to him at the beginning of the meeting. That's why I couldn't talk to you about this stuff. And, you know, he's busy. I think this is something that could be filed or initiated and have the weight of the national office. You know, I used to do these things when I didn't have a general counsel, but the national office, and we didn't really have an effective national office. This should be done by the national office. Should have been done already. And
I agree. I'll bring this up. I'll bring this up at the National Finance Committee meeting, I guess, if they let me. All right. And let's see. So the bottom line is 1,467,939 is our deal, closing in on $1.5 million in money owed, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And okay. I would say 80% of that. Yeah, and 80% of that I would say is Pacifica and then Pacifica Ridge Archives.
Right, which we still must make sure we do pay because that's very important.
Well, yeah, that's one of the reasons, you know, like for all the stations that they have some financial problems.
Okay, now. You say we paid $8,000 to the call center. Is the call center on this thing you sent out?
Yeah, it's called ACG. But the $8,000 is not reflected.
ACD Direct. Okay.
Yes.
So
it's not reflected in this because the money has not been they haven't cashed it yet, so I cannot post it until it's processed.
Okay, so it says $52,800 here. It should be 8,000 less than that when they get around to cashing a check, right?
Yeah. Yes. Can I digress here for a minute? Also, ACD the call center. How quickly? That's what ACD was the question you're asking. ACD the call center. The rates have gone up regularly, not unreasonably, but at one point, all the stations were using ACD, and that's how actually WBI used them because the rest of the network strongly suggested them. And as a network, I don't know what we're doing. We're not doing this as a whole. I've mentioned over and over that we could get a group rate and have a huge reduction, and this 52,000, 58,000 would probably be like 30 or 25,000 half. And so, again, you know, things are not being done. I mean, that's Pacifica. As Pacifica, we should be able to just, you know, I've spoken to the owner of ACD. He's a cool guy. He seems to be a young guy. Calls me to say, where's the money? And he says, yo, what's up? You know, he's, so I've kind of befriended him. And then he's willing to talk, but he wants to know what the plan, not only by us, but the network, to put this whole thing together so that we can have an economy of scale and reduce the rate. I'd like you to bring that also up to the Finance Committee.
Okay.
And to whoever.
I've just made a note to see if we can get that in on the NFC. All right. Do other people have questions on the General Manager's report?
Mario?
Yes, I do. Jim Dingman.
Mario. Jim Dingman. Anyone else? Anyone else want to get on this stack to ask a question of the general manager?
Carolyn McIntyre.
Okay. McIntyre. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go with those three folks. Mario, go ahead.
A little point of information first. I think two or three of the stations in the network are not on the center of the dial. I could be mistaken there, but they're not in the center of the dial. So their history and their successes and
Doreen Roberts
are they're not on the center of the dial. I just wanted to point that out. Also, 1010 Winds, I don't know what company owns that, but they just took over 92.3 FM. And they're happy being there and taking that spot. And they broadcast their AM news with a whole different team, but it's their station. Also, 103.9, which comes out of White Plains, New York, is now a left-of-center, right-wing, left-of-center station. And they seem to be running and doing really well and increasing. I wonder what their ratings are, if Jim can get a handle on what are the ratings for 92.3, the news station, and what's the ratings for 103.9. It doesn't go past 42nd Street going south, maybe a little further, but it seems to have more range east and west. I picked it up way out in Long Island and also west in Jersey. Okay, so I just want to point that out. They're not in the center of the dial. So, and you still have to increase your audience and your exposure. We're in the business, may I say it that way, of getting customers who are listeners. Everybody talks radio to justify not making any changes. You know, there's the radio speak to justify, well, no, we don't want to go down to 92.3. But then we say, well, we're going to lose our people. What people? 3,000 people? 4,000 people? You can't say that. You can't talk like that. You can't say, you know, you might as well tell me Santa Claus is coming and bring you some presents. You know, all right. Yesterday at the report to the listener from the LSB, a couple of disturbing things came out. This all affects the bottom line. You have callers who outed that they're being alienated by some producers. So here we go again. The listener, whether you don't like them or not, as long as they're not breaking any law, they're not really being, threatening anyone. Why is that going on? It was sad to hear that Linda Perry was part of that lawsuit in the slander case. That was a big mistake. And so people who made big mistakes that cost us $300,000 are, you know, where's the accountability? All right. My last point, and this to Berthold. We have some money that if it can be brought together, you have to solicit from the certain producers and then their listener base. I don't have the list in front of me. I don't want to mention a few people. I could mention a few people, but the list is about 12 people long. If you and this is by Google. If you Google their net worth, you have producers there that are worth $500,000 to $1 million, million and a half and up. Millionaires who are constant guests and are producers on the station or guests. Abu Jamal, for instance, according to internet, he's worth $1.5 million or more. It's not about him. It's about here's somebody who, oh my God, look at this guy's life, how messed up what they did, and yet there's all this, that's a component, and nobody knows about it. And we need help, right? You have 4 million people that Michio Kaku says he's on, you know, Facebook. But yet nothing, and the station is poor. Chris Hedges, millionaire, takes limousines to his talk. I've seen that personally. And yet we're poor. Laura J. Baum Marshall, an attorney. According to the internet, she's worth close to $2 million. And we're poor. Yeah, the whole network of the GBE and the people who used to be on the Black Station. And yet we're poor. Ron Daniels, the other guy, name escapes me now. the one with the foundation, and yet we're poor. You know, then Jonathan made a point, or somebody made a point about, oh, we don't want to take money from Trader Joe's.
How much time do we have?
All right, 20 seconds. All right, I guess I'm hitting some buttons here. Okay, 20 seconds. We don't want to take money from Trader Joe's because they're union busters. Excuse me, you let a lot of union people go, and then you rehired people where union people haven't been rehired. That's a form of union busting. Okay, so this is kind of like, hey, nobody can come here and mistreat us. It's only we can mistreat each other. A lot of families do that. So no one can, we will rally.
Everybody come to order, please. But Mario, you come to order too right now.
Okay.
Everybody come to order. People are yelling at each other. Let's not do it that way.
Well,
Mario,
when somebody says, hey, what's going on with his time, that sets people off, right? So let's relax.
Mario.
Thank you, sir.
Are you about finished or close to
it? No. Well, I finished while screaming, but okay. I'd like to say, I would like to end by saying what I see is, hey, nobody.
It's over. It's over. The 22nd is over.
Excuse me. Excuse me. One chair for this meeting. And if everybody yells, it becomes chaos. Mario, are you about done?
Yes.
Okay, Mario.
Very clear to me that there's lots of rallying.
If you're done, Mario.
Yes, this is it. This is my thing. But yet we mistreat ourselves. Thank you.
Okay, we mistreat ourselves. All right. Now, did I hear the timekeeper in there?
Yes, I said time.
Okay, so time is up. We have still Jim Dingman. Carol, I'm hearing a lot of noise. And we're getting echoes. Would people please mute themselves if they're going to give me some echoes there? All right. Well, we have in the stack is Jim Dingman, Carolyn McIntyre, and Serene Roberts. Could we get a definite time for a motion to extend this? I'll make a motion. Okay, what do we got? We got three people. I'm going to move that we extend the time for this item by 12 minutes. Okay, so I've moved to extend the time for this item by 12 minutes. That should give people some time. Is there any objection to that motion?
Is the GM response also being timed?
Well, we'll count that into it's going to be 12 minutes for this item, period.
Okay.
Making it conditional on people and what they do does not work. Time we can manage. So I'm going to make it for 12 minutes. If we need to, I guess we'll just extend again. Is there any objection to extending the time for this item by 12 minutes? Hearing none. It's passed. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 21-02, Mr. Timekeeper. Okay, the next question.
Part of information, Arpo.
Yeah?
9:14, Arpo.
Okay, part of information is how much time does everybody have? Because when we have people pontificating and saying nothing for like 15 minutes, it's a waste of our time. So how much time does everybody
You're out of
have
order.
To be clear?
It's out of order to start typifying everybody else. If we do that, we collapse. Look, there's no – you know that in a committee, we don't have the time limits like that. It's not like the LSB where you have a two-minute limit. Here, we don't have that. So this is what we end up with. Let's go. The next person is Jim Dingman.
All right. Just to clarify some points that Mario made, it's very difficult to compare BAI to WINS FM or AM because the amount of people listening to WINS is they got a 4.2 share. We got a 0.1 share. So in other words, they've got that many more, 42 times more people listening to them than listening to us. So it's a totally different comparison. I have questions for Berthold. Yesterday, one of the people who was on the LSB report to the listeners mentioned that David Rothenberg had said that we had a windfall in December and that it had settled our bills. And I just wanted to know what you know about the veracity of that comment. Secondly, where are we at with the money that we're getting from the state of New York and the city of New York? How do you see that evolving? Third, are we, in terms of underwriting, beginning to approach or get, I know it's a lot of work, I'm well aware of how much work it is, are we approaching other entities that can give us support? And finally, how much money do you budget per month that you need to raise in order to meet the nut? Is it about $110,000 a month? What is the amount that you need each month to raise? Thank you.
All right. David Rothenberg, I'm not sure where that came from. What did he say? We are crashing, or we are making a lot of money? What was it? What did he say?
He said we had gotten a whole bunch of money in the month of December. At least that's what somebody said he said. I don't know what he actually said. I'm just quoting what that person said.
Well, everybody speaks for themselves. David Rothenberg got a lot of money in, but a lot of money is what, I don't know, $12,000 instead of $8,000, you know. So everything is relative, and then everything is blowing up, you know. But as I said, though, we made $94,000 this month. Last year, we made about $134,000. I mean, that little extra money, I mean, normally we've been making $75,000, $80,000 per month. So we've made an extra $14,000 in December, $14,000, $20,000. I wish we had made another $30,000 more. We have caught up on some bill. But we're still in the same position. We might be a slightly better. We did a few things. And then we're like, I don't know, 5-6 days ahead of some of the bills that are coming up. But, you know, that's I don't know where that's coming from. Second is city. We're in a very bad position as city council discretionary fund because, you know, I didn't get much help. And then, you know, basically, you know, I've communicated with a few members of the fundraising committee, but it was already like a month ago, you know, and then so we really need a dedicated group of people who know what they're doing, who are meeting on a regular weekly basis, like a group of 5, 6, 7 people who have a plan. My plan is to generate letters to send to city council members on a regular basis to check with on the air to see how many of them we have on the air, and within those letters we remind them of these things, and then I set up as many meetings as I can to go to their office to meet with them, asking them for the funds, following up the letter we sent them, you know, we basically have RFE. We give them a proposal, and that competes with all their constituents. That's how that works. And right now, that doesn't look good because it seems like there's not much, I'm going to be doing whatever I can with whatever time I have. Underwriting, as I said before, I don't know if it's called underwriting or sponsorship, whatever it is. We have the Department of Health, Department of Transportation. We're talking to a few more people. Gay men health crisis and all of those people. I don't know why this is what I'm giving this money. Like Joy of Resistance, women's movement, you know, Roe versus Wade is almost destroyed. I believe destroyed. Why? We're all this progressive women organization with people who have a lot of money. So all of these specific groups, labor, you know, I'm asking me, Bob Hanley, you know, where are the money, guys? You guys know those people. Reach out to them. But, you know, that's easier said than done. No, they should be doing that, but they should also be backed up by management on the national office with a specific plan of reaching out to them. I wouldn't have the money, the time, or the effort to do that, but, you know, I would still ask them to reach out to those groups. So that is what underwriting is all about. We can do little things, Linda and I. We can reach out to the Department of Sanitation and focus on that, and find a way to secure some loans. Linda is looking for grants right now for maybe to sponsor some news people so that we can pay to help manage some interns to get, you know, a good WBI news. We haven't had some good WBI news in years, ever since Linda stopped doing it, my opinion. And then finally, you said about we need $140,000 just to kind of break even. I mean, if you think about it, we need $140,000. And we could get by with $125,000. But if you look at the report I give you, profit and loss, I'm going to send out my detailed profit and loss because I never used to send it before because it was competing and conflicting with NEDA. There were some discrepancies between the two. But I think that I don't think Markisha has a problem with that. We know that the national office is the official financial thing. And then, you know, like if there are discrepancies or differences, I'll have to go in and check to see what they are on my side. And once in a while, I might find a mistake at the national office. But the discrepancies overall for the whole fiscal year is not that much. So I can put those things out. That's it.
Okay.
Did I answer your question, Jim?
Yeah, cool. No sweat.
Okay. Next on the stack is Carolyn McIntyre. Go ahead.
Thank you, R. Paul, and thank you for the report. I don't think that accountability is the issue here. I've never had a problem getting information from Berthold when I was on the board or just, you know, in fact, usually it was too much information. And I don't know anybody else who would be doing the job he's doing as well as he is, and especially the people who tend to criticize the most are not exactly people who would be able to do that job. It is also scary to hear where we are right now, and I think it's on all of us to think about what we could be doing to help out. And, you know, if people like the person who spoke before me want to go on and talk down to people or management, I'd like to know how much you're giving to this station and what you're doing to help raise money for this station instead of just picking at other people and blaming them. There are a lot of good people in WBAI, and it is sad to see where we are, and I hope that we get through this point and get to a better place. And also, I would appreciate, R. Paul, if you could just from the get-go of some of these stacks, let us know what's the total amount of time, add up the number of people who want to speak, and then divide the minutes accordingly. I don't appreciate when somebody gets to go on and on and on. Much of what was said was not helpful, and it doesn't give a chance for other people to speak. So I would please try to balance that. I think Berthold's comment was entirely appropriate. Thank you.
Okay, next to Serene Roberts. Go ahead.
Okay. Couple of questions. What is our annual budget at this point?
I don't have it with me right now, but our poll is what, 1 point something million? It used to be in the past, a long time ago, it used to be like 3.6 million. Now it's like 2.1 million.
Okay. So with regard to the demand on producers to generate a certain number of dollars per hour, I think that the number is 350. I have two questions. One is every hour, well, do you expect that every hour of the day would generate the same amount? Because my understanding is that there's no difference in what overnight producers, for example, are being asked to do as opposed to daytime, prime time, drive time, et cetera. So I have a question about that. And at $350 per hour, that's about $3 million per year, which is about twice what your quick memory says the budget is. So I'm unclear about that calculus. But how is the determination made about the value, if you will, of airtime at certain points of the day?
Okay, you want me to answer that right now?
And then you can
you know ask another question because that's a very good question and I have the answer very clearly. You're absolutely right. You know, 7 a.m., 8 a.m. is different than 5 a.m. or you know 2 in the morning. So basically, what I did is I just took $140,000 per month, and you divide it by how many hours during that month, and then you get an idea of how much money you want from the producers, and you ask for a little more, so because you want a little extra money to have, you know. However, the best part of your question is the fact that, you know, how do you determine which hour should bring what? Linda and I, we've been working on a grid for a while now, you know, on Google Doc. So basically what we do is we put from, you know, from 5 a.m. to 5 a.m., and then we put all these hours, and then we're looking, we're giving them colors, prime time, you know, almost prime time, low time, whatever, and we're trying to figure out what is the weight, the grade. So, you know, for example, 8 a.m. Amy Goodman or 7 a.m. should maybe be 450, 500, and then 5 o'clock in the morning would be maybe $150. You know, we're not rigid. You know, we are giving people a goal. You know, we also know that, Serene, for example, if on the average the producers who produce shows as opposed to fund drive raise $150 on an average instead of $350, we know we have pitch shows that are going to make up for that. The idea is that the more that we could raise money that way, the less pitch shows we would have. And then there would be a balance, you know, figure out if 10,000 come from here, then we only need 5,000 here as opposed to 20,000, you know, and balance it out. You know, so, you know, if a show comes in and really tries to come up with some premium pitches hard and raises no money, that's also, I mean, that's not welcome, but that's understood. You know, I've mentioned to producers that, you know, that was a great show, that was a great premium, that was a great effort, you made no money. You know, like, it matters, we want money, but that was a great effort, and eventually it will pay off, keep up the good work. So we have to be flexible, you know, human, you know, relatable to people, you know, but we also have to be hard and pushy and push people to at least try and try hard. And you know, so that's the answer. I'm sorry if I was wrong. That's a very good question.
I appreciate the explanation of how you're looking at the grid, and I want to urge you to share that grid with the producers. You know, I don't know if y'all are still doing these regular meetings, but I would encourage you to share it with them for feedback and see what their actual response is, because you can listen to a program on the archive that was on at 3 o'clock. Thanks. I'm wrapping up. Thank you, Jeffrey. At 3 o'clock in the morning, but the experience of someone who's pitching at 3 o'clock in the morning would, I think, be useful to include in defining what is expected. Thanks.
Thank you. I would do that, but I would have to come with a huge disclaimer, like a 24 font, that this is just, we're just exploring, you know?
Right. I'm just saying, before it gets locked in, talk to the people who actually do the work and get their feedback and their buy-in. Thanks.
Okay.
I believe time has been called at this point.
Yes, it has.
And so let me get to this. Anybody else want to talk? And anybody else want to extend the time for this item?
Can I say a two-minute thing? I'll move 2 minutes.
No, you got to make a motion. You got to make a motion.
And for 2 minutes,
I'd like to make a motion to extend for 10 minutes.
You want to extend for 10 minutes?
Yes.
All right. Okay, Berthold is making a motion to extend 10 minutes. Okay. Motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that?
I object.
Okay, there's an objection. Who's objecting?
It's Michael White. I'm objecting, I believe.
Oh, you're objecting. Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's go to a vote. Okay.
Ask a question.
Okay, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Requires a two-thirds vote. Please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
Yes.
Jim Dingman.
Yes.
Bruce Grief. John Hoffman.
No.
Noel Jameson.
No.
R. Paul Martin. I'll pass. Mario Mastrandrea.
I go along with my brothers. Yes.
Excuse me. Matt Mazza.
Yes.
Carolyn McIntyre.
No.
Daryl McPherson.
Yes.
Ellie Murphy.
Yes.
Berthold Reimers.
I usually don't vote, but I'll say yes.
Serene Roberts.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Jeffrey Stern.
Yes.
Neil Voss.
Abstain.
Michael D.D. White.
No.
M.K. Williams.
Yes.
And going back, Bruce Grief.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. I'll abstain this time. And I think that's it. 12-4, 4 against, 2 abstentions, so the motion passes. We are extended by, 10 minutes, and it is 21:22, Mr. Timekeeper.
Yes, and, we could take a test. At 9:30, we're going to have to say the rest of the meeting.
Yeah, I know. We got stuff going on here, so, okay. The first thing I want, I'm going to put me on the stack before anybody else and just say very fast, that's very nice that you go and congratulate some people, Berthold. Those of us who end up never showing up on any of those charts you put out to the LSB and elsewhere for shows that have raised money, and we've raised some money, not anything that's going to save the station, but we never show up on those, but we do make the money. So, you know, gee whiz, I don't know about how great some of this getting together stuff is, Berthold. That's all I have to say. Let's take a stack. Who wants to talk?
Jack DePalma.
Okay, Jack DePalma. Who else?
Ali Bertold.
Bertold. Matt. Who's this?
Matt
Mazza.
Yes.
Ali
Mazza. Anybody else?
Can you hear me?
Yes, who's this?
Ali.
Okay, Ali Murphy. Anybody else? We're gonna have to extend all this. All right. Why don't we have four? Why don't we go from this four and keep going? Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll take less than 2 minutes off, Paul. That comment that was made on the radio by that listener that said he was being censored was specifically answered by one of the engineers that the particular producer had requested that they not call in because they chose to not have this person call into their show. Now, if there is such a thing as free speech on WBAI, he was able to get his call onto the LSB show and say, sometimes they censor us in the morning. But no, maybe sometimes people don't want to talk to him. He's not a very agreeable sort of fellow, and I would posit that he's making the radio station into a disagreeable and angry place. Thank you very much, R. Paul.
Okay, next is Bertold Reimers. Go ahead.
Okay, so R. Paul, first of all, to address what you said, I just highlighted your show on Dispatch, so obviously I appreciated the show that you did. I tried to call you to let you know that so that you could be aware, but your show is, the last show you did was highlighted on Dispatch. So the reason why I wanted to have this extension is that no one addressed the profit and loss of the comparison between Pacifica and WBI QuickBook. And so I wanted to hear some comments and some criticism, some critics and suggestions on what you thought about that. You know, I think it's important. These are the things that, you know, we have. I also mentioned that we have the budget that's coming up and that we brought in $28,000 in public service announcement. That's something that we're going to think about how we put that in the budget. The budget that we already submitted to you. So the budget has been modified a little bit. Do we go aggressively or do we go not aggressively or quietly? So the reason why I asked for this 10-minute extension is because I thought that, you know, we didn't have enough time to address these issues. And so I'd be quiet and hopefully some other people will get on the stack and address those issues or make comments about what they think could be done or what they thought, period.
Okay.
I'll pull Mario to the stack.
Hold on. Okay, next. Let me say, Bertold, if you want a lot more comment on what you send out, you should send it out earlier, like maybe a couple of days before the meeting. You might get more people. Matt Mazza, you're next.
Okay. Interject here. It's not relatively visible the amount of money that has been coming in the mail and significantly, and it rescued us. We had just made payroll on 1 week. I'm in touch with Bertold all the time. She says, Matt, what do we got? Yeah, you better go to the bank. And so today, there's this pile of mail, one check for $3,116. This is from our car donation service that we have. And then earlier, a check just appears in the mail for $5,000. I suggest this should be putting some kind of a dent in all this and getting us ahead on the tower, bringing us up to date a little more. This $3,000, then a bunch of envelopes. I must have 30 or 40 envelopes here. Some of them have $100, $200, $15. I haven't done a tally yet, but significant amounts of money over the past several weeks. So, I mean, what say, what comment do you have on that? At Providence, we can't rely on it, but we'll take it as it comes. But our listeners have been stepping onto the plate, up to the plate and coming in. You don't hear this on the radio. And that's my comment.
Okay.